All glory and honor unto thee, O Father in heaven, our great God of heaven, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, God of Israel. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we bless your holy name, the name above all names. Thank you, Lord, for blessing all of us with your name. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to all our hearts with your word. In your marvelous light, O Lord, we are all standing here praising, worshipping the name above all names. Thank you, Lord, that you changed all of our lives. You rewrote our life with your grace and mercy in your agape love. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this banner of love. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the foundation upon which we are all standing. And Lord, it is not us who stand firm. It is your mighty hand that is holding us firm. Lord, we bless your holy name. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the sweet river that washed all of us away from the sins, from darkness, from confusions, from lack of understanding, from filthiness. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for you are perfecting us, washing us thoroughly in this river of Jordan. Because, oh Lord, you are all about fulfilling your promises because of the love that you have for us. You thought of us, you created us, you formed us, you made us, you redeemed us. And Lord, you call all of us by name to serve thee. Lord, may you bless us. May you speak to our hearts. May you continue to walk with us in this beautiful journey of being led by your Spirit, with your Spirit, in your Spirit. Lord, we are carrying something in our life, something beautiful, precious, something, a beautiful privilege that we are all can say that, Lord, we have a reason to live, for live is Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the part of the word that is living in all of us. And Lord, may you bless this day to be a sweet aroma in thy presence as we are here to offer our sacrifices with all our hearts, with all our mind, with all our strength, with all our might, with all as we as a whole, as a creation of God. Lord, may you wash us. May you help us to listen to your voice. May you bless us to understand thy word. May you, Lord, help us to grow, to conform to your beautiful image, to bless all of us to behold the beauty of your holiness in your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation. Thank you, Lord, for the agape love. Thank you, Lord, for we are all here able to witness with your Spirit as true worshippers of God. Lord, we bless your holy name. We surrender our hearts, our lives, our everything. Lord, may you take complete control. For we are here to yield to your Spirit, to do everything according to your will and pleasure. We ask all of this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my dear brethren. God bless you all, brethren, joining from different parts of the world. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank the Lord for we all gathered and we all sang songs. We praised Him, worshipped Him as one family of God. At the same time, in different parts of the world, the true fivefold ministries, the true Church of God, brethren who are also worshipping the Lord in truth, in spirit. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. When the Lord Himself says this, there is only one house, one family, one landlord, one master, one Savior. For there is only one faith, there is only one baptism, and there is only one bride, because there is only one groom. Amen. We thank the Lord that we are part of that family. We thank the Lord that we can rejoice that the family of God is so beautiful, so powerful, because brethren can pray in spirit. The children of God can utter the words in spirit, which is more powerful than mighty armies of this world. One single vessel of God, filled by the Spirit of God, uttering the words in boldness, in confidence and in faith, rooted in agape love, it can overthrow the entire earth. We thank the Lord. The Lord has blessed us, taught us in this apostolic faith, apostolic ministry. A journey that will only come to an end when the end is come. Amen? When our Savior said, I am the beginning and the end, only when He comes, this madness of all this filthiness, darkness, violence of men, wrath of men, all this lust of this world, the battles going here and there because of pride and power and ego, everything, all of this vanity will come to an end when the end comes. When our Savior said, I must go to my Father, then a comforter will come, the helper will come, will teach you, will anoint you to hear the word of God, understand the word of God, and hold on to the word of God until the day of redemption. Amen? Without a comforter, no one can receive the power to be a witness of the Lord. The Lord said, you shall receive the power of Holy Spirit and you shall be a witness of me throughout the earth, all the corners of the earth. Only when the gospel is preached to the ends of the earth, when all the ears heard of his name, the gospel was preached to all the corners of the earth, only then the end shall come. Amen. Until then, the Lord's ministry of redemption, ministry of reconciliation is going on. It will move on, and there is none stopping it, and there is none delaying it, and there is none challenging it, and there is none questioning it. Why? Because scripture says it is written. He has spoken. That's why. When the word of God speaks, whatever He speaks, it must come to pass in His own time, according to His perfect will and pleasure. Because He is not groaning, He is not complaining about His divine plan. He is rejoicing that His children, His seeds, will be reconciled back to Him. For there is only one Spirit. But what He is doing now is that He is going to destroy the soul and the body in the fire, in the hell. But there is no destruction for the Spirit, because there is only one Spirit. He will reconcile all the spirits back to Him, the fountain of life. But during this separation, He wants all His children to run back to the shelter, to run back to the solid tower, the strong tower, to run back to the tree of life, under which, under the shadow, you can escape from all things to come. The Lord did not say, you will be able to wrestle and preserve or protect yourself. He said, escape, flee. For what is about to come, when the Lord cleansed the entire world by sending a flood, He washed the earth, He killed all the flesh, He only preserved the family of Noah. But when He sent them inside the ark, the scripture says, God shut them in. He shut the door. He did not let any man to close the door. God shut the door in. He preserved the family of Noah. And what is about to come? The seventh church age that we are in, waiting for the new beginning, the eighth day, waiting for the promised land to enter into His rest. The Lord is also going to wash, to destroy all things one last time before the regeneration. Before whatever that He had planned in all our life, the hope of eternal glory that we would see in our eyes. May the Lord help us. Without His help, none of us can grow, none of us can cross, none of us can finish the journey. The author of our salvation must write what He wants to accomplish, what He wants to fulfill, what you want to see in your life. He is writing. It is written. it was spoken, witnessed by the Lord's witnesses, the Lord's vessels, they wrote what was spoken. It is written, it's one advanced level of saying, the Lord spoke, his vessels saw, they witnessed it, and it was recorded. And he had spoken, and all things are created. Last Sunday, by God's grace, we were focusing on the words uttered by the Word of God. When Judas came with a band of men, with all their weapons, they thought maybe the disciples will make a scene, or someone will try to fight them. And it's true, Peter tried to show his skills. He wielded his sword, he tried to kill the one who came to arrest the Lord. But the scripture says, Judas stood with them. But he was supposed to stand with the one, with the Prince of Life, with a friend who truly loved him. But rather, for a piece of silver, he decided to betray his friend, to betray his life, to betray the one who called him to be part of this apostolic journey, and he betrayed all for something that is vanity. And he stood with a band of men. Now, by God's grace, we meditated on the event when Jesus went forth and asked them, whom you are seeking? Whom ye seek? Are you looking for me? But they were able to answer to the question. They said, we are looking for Jesus of Nazareth. But you have to look at this verse as the vessel of God, as the child of God, in whom he had put his spirit in you. He has planned the part of the word that is to be manifested, fulfilled in your life, for you to be redeemed up to him. When the Lord said, I am he, they all went backward and they fell to the ground. Amen? How come these band of men who came to arrest him, when Jesus said, I am he, because when the truth speaks, I am he is speaking to all the breathing, all the creation, reminding them, I am the one who created you. Because our Lord, our Savior, cannot lie. He cannot simply hide his identity and say, I am not he. Because he is the truth. He can only speak the truth. You should look at the events and the way the creations responded to the Creator, although they were the vessels of adversity, they were about to kill him, they wanted to destroy him, they were this and that. But when the Lord came forward and told them, I am he, in the same way in the Old Testament, how we read, I am who I am that I am. When Jesus said, I am he, all those creation, men, band of men, all those people who came to attack him with the weapons, they went backward and they fell to the ground. But in the Calvary, they were able to lay their hands upon him. They were able to beat him, torture him, insult him, spit upon him, smote him, stripped him, and they tormented him until he finished the journey for you and me. How? Ask yourself, being the part of the word, to the word, why those men went backward and fell to the ground, but why they were able to strip your clothes, they were able to do all of this to you, unless he covered himself with your blame, with my blame, with your shame, with my shame, with all of our sins. Then there was a blindness around all those who were about to crucify him. If the Creator revealed his identity, no one can even stand up from the ground. Because the scripture says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is the Lord. Amen? Even the demons scared of him. They carried the body of which they possessed. They wanted to destroy the vessel before the Lord destroyed them or cast them away. They bowed to him when he reveals his identity. But if he chose not to reveal himself, to bear the reproach
to put on the clothes of being the sacrificial lamb, to be hidden to all those wrath of men, worketh not the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God was right in front of them. The Prince of Life was right in front of them. The Redeemer, the Savior was right in front of them, but they could not see. They could not see. When those people from Sodom and Gomorrah, they tried to destroy the house of Lot, the scriptures say the Lord cast some blindness to all of them. They were searching for the door throughout the night, but they couldn't reach the door. Ever since those two angels pulled Lot into the door and they shut the door, since then, until the day break out, their blindness was not removed. We know what is the blindness represents spiritually. The very first sermon of this series, we started with the children of disobedience. Amen? Whosoever believeth on him, the life of God abideth on him. But whosoever believeth not in him, the wrath of God abideth on him. That was the beginning of this journey of we see the divine, the beauty of the Lord's holiness in his wrath, which is keep on separating the children of God and protecting and shielding his seed from all things to come. Now, by God's grace, we will continue to ask the Lord to teach us concerning the three words that he spoke. When the Comforter come, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. The world of sin is called the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment. Amen. Three words, three important words spoken by the Word of God. So we shall meditate on the book of John, chapter 16, verse 5 to 12. We will start from here again. John chapter 16, verse 5 to 12. I will read this first, then. Chapter 16, verse 5 to 12. But now I go my way to him that sent me. Now our Savior speaks the words for his seed. Amen. The life is speaking to the lives that he created and to the children that he will reconcile back. Because these words are always for us, for everyone whom are called in his name, for his name. So he says, I go my way. He clearly says, I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither goest thou. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. So something filled your heart, but he also reminds us the joy of the Lord is our strength, not the sorrow. But at the same time, book of Malachi says, the burden of the Lord came unto me. So, how this inner chamber, the heart that is reserved for the Master to dwell in, for the Lord to tabernacle in our life, how we can have both the burdens from the Lord, the godly burdens, and the joy that is our strength, and how the Lord fills our heart with his fullness. It's not about being happy, careless, self-righteous all the time. That is not peace. That is not joy. Being happy is not being filled with joy. He was carrying the cross. His body was tormented, tortured by all those men who were filled with wrath, hatred, evil, wickedness, power of darkness. But yet, he endured the cross for the joy of your salvation. For the joy of my salvation. For he was able to see what is the purpose behind this Calvary. So he was holding on to the joy and endured the cross. So pain, tears, sorrow can exist along with the joy of the Lord, which can give you the endurance to go through. Amen? Now we remember why God said, I know my children by the way they endure my chastening. You can never endure the chastening of God if there is no joy of the Lord in your life. You cannot endure the chastening of the Lord by what we learnt, by being sincere, punctual, by being we ourselves, the best version of ourselves. You can never endure the chastening of God. The joy of the Lord. Our Savior, He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him. You. His joy was you. His joy was all His children. His joy that His sacrifice will yield life to those who had agreement with Him. He was breaking the chain and He was sacrificing Himself so that you and me will not be destroyed. You and me will receive grace. There will be a waiting period for the Lord to complete His reaping, completing His harvest. But He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Although your heart is filled with joy, nevertheless, it's okay. I tell you the truth because I am the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Most of the time, this carnal mind will always beg for blessings. Even from your loved ones, your friends, your colleagues, brethren, even the ministers of God. You always look for what is in there for me. If I join this prayer, what is the benefit for me? Am I going to be blessed? If I come to Sunday, every service, am I going to benefit? Am I going to be blessed? Or is the Lord going to answer my prayers? If I go here, if I go there, am I going to gain something? It is not the sacrificial love of the one who died for your sins. It is not the calling of the one who called all of us into His marvelous light. Not to make our light to shine brighter, but to clean our heart, our inner chamber, for the Master to use it according to His will and pleasure. It is all about Him. It is always about Him. It has been always about Him. It will be forever about Him. Because we are in Him. That is the only way we will survive this. That is the only way we will survive this and stand before the Son of Man. By being in Him. He is the only one who can shield you. He is the only one who can carry you. He is the only one who can protect you. He is the only one who can deliver you. He is the only one who can strengthen you. He is the only one who can comfort you. He is the only one who can heal you. It's all about Him. So what we should do? Eve was taken from Adam, so she must be put back into Adam. Amen? The part of the world was taken from the Word, it must be put back into the Word. Conforming to the image of God. Going back inside Him. Because of our filthiness, iniquity, our sins, our abominations, the Lord dispatched all of us out from the garden. And now He is helping us to come back. He opened the doors. Imagine the scripture without the power of resurrection. Imagine the scripture without Garden of Gethsemane. Think about the scripture without Calvary and the death and the resurrection. It is nothing but all those heathen religions, whatever they say, this and that. Everything is not complete. Something is missing because of written by men. But when the Lord writes, when the Lord speaks, He fulfills, He finishes, He manifests what He speaks for His children because of His love. He will keep on reminding all His children, there is no other God, there is only one. There is no other God, there is only one. You know what people will think? Of course I know, I only worship You. But you know what? Most of the time, men and women, they love themselves more than God. You make yourself as a God to yourself. The scripture says in the days of the end times, men will love be lovers of themselves. You do not need another Nisroth or Nishoth to worship another God. You will worship yourself. If at all we are not careful, if the inner chamber is not cleansed, if all those filthiness are not thrown away, you might be keeping your own idol beautifully decorated in you. Saying that, I am the vessel of God. I love my tabernacle so much. So you built your own tabernacle. Wrath of God is the warning, sign He has been setting from the Garden of Eden until today for the children to be tossed and fro to make sure they are not distracted from the focus of the one whom they worship. The only one whom they are called to worship. Now when the Lord says, I must bear the cross for your sin. Verse 7 says, I must be the sacrifice instead of you. I must replace you on your cross. Or else none of you, no one who have born and died, no one who is going to be born and to die, you would never make it. So he says, I must go to the Calvary to die on behalf of your sins, to bear your shame, to bear your sin, to sacrifice my life. When the friend gives his life for his friend, there is no greater love than this. Amen? He swallowed up all the evil by doing good. Overcome evil by good. So God overcame evil by being God himself, for God is good. He overcame all by his love. But can we say, Lord, since you have done everything is completed, I am baptized, I know the truth, you are the Lord, I know the Godhead, I know all. So Lord, I will take my victory right now, I will enter the promised land. Amen. Amen to that. If the Lord would say, yes, if you keep my commandments, do my commandments, if you have the right to the tree of life, if you are a believer of mine by showing the actions with faith in your life, if he will keep on go, once he finished speaking, you will see the entire Bible that he was spoken. There is no single page in the scripture which will give you the key to unlock the doors of heaven. This is one single key. The word of God. Amen? It's not the words of God. One word of God. Singular. Oneness. Unity. So now when the Lord says, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment. This is where, by God's grace, we will complete the journey of the sermon series on the wrath of God. By God's grace today or by next Sunday as the Lord leads. Sin, righteousness, judgment. You see how beautifully the word of God uttered the words in sequence. Sin entered, death was introduced, righteousness was lost because of self-righteousness, unrighteousness, wickedness entered. The purity, the beauty of his holiness was compromised when the seeds got mixed up. So there is a battle of righteousness going on from the Garden of Eden until now as we breathe. And it will be completed only when the righteous judge comes and execute his righteousness in judgment. Until then, it's not over. Until then, do not take. Your life is guaranteed. Because the Lord says, today is the day. You will gain or you will lose. You can give witness to me or you can profane my name. Today is the day. So the Lord wants all of us to take our life one day at a time. Amen? One day at a time. Whatever the goodness that you have received in your life in the past, blessed be the name of the Lord. Today, live a life according to the worthy of his calling. Tomorrow, leave it to him. When tomorrow becomes today, then again do what you did today. It goes on. It goes on. It goes on until the day he comes and tells us, come home. My faithful servant, I'm pleased in thee. I can't tell, you can't tell. The Lord is pleased in me. We believe when we keep his commandment, when we do his commandment. But only he can give you a good report. Only he, for God is good, can give you a good report. Now let's understand. When the Lord said, Comforter will come, the Helper will come, the power of Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Spirit will rest upon you, then you will receive the power, the utterance of word. Amen? The utterance, the boldness to speak the words, that is the power. Not the weapons, not the armies, not all of this and that. He simply put all his authority, power, dominion, his life, everything in the word. So apostles, what they received? Multifolds of armies and swords or archeries or spears? No. They simply asked, Lord, enemies are surrounding us. There are a lot of adversity around us. It's fine. Just grant us the boldness to utter your words in faith, in spirit, in truth. Amen? Above all, in love. above all in love. So now, sin, righteousness, judgment. Amen? Battle of righteousness, because the Lord said, I go to my Father. Judgment, because the prince of this world must be judged. No one can escape from this judgment. It may seem that he is delaying, but he is not delaying. He is holding on to his grace, his covenant, his promises that he had uttered to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, every single servant of God. Whatever the promise that he had uttered, he will stand by his word, for he is the word. So he is holding on to his covenant. Amen? Now you see, the Lord is holding on to his covenant and you are inside the covenant. We had a sermon series on the Ark of the Covenant, in which we never talked about the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. We are in the present established truth. There is a word, there is a promise, there is a divine calling that is living inside you. You are carrying something. You are carrying something that belongs to the Lord. And the Father says, I am all about my business. So make sure you yield the fruit of your life. For I am the life. I put my word in you. I put my spirit in you. So he's all about that. So we are following the ark. Whatever that follows the lion shall always be a lion. The shepherd, he leads the sheep. And he calls all of us to follow him. Amen? We speak like him. We think like him. We do everything like him. We fall and we rise. We fall and we rise. But the day when we forget, I am the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. I am the temple of the Spirit. There is a flame that is burning in my heart. The inner chamber that is reserved for the Lord should never be rented out to the world. Do you hear me? We always rent out. Monday to Friday, someone stays in. Saturday, Sunday, we, Lord, come on. You can just stay in the weekend and go back on Monday. The inner chamber is for the Lord. That is why by God's grace we meditated on the book of Nehemiah and what happened to the life of Hezekiah from the perspective of the king and the builder of the city. We know who is the King of Kings and we know who is the builder of the city where we shall dwell in. It's all him. You will see God's attributes in all his servants, in prophets, in kings, in builders, in scribes. You would see him in them. Now, sin, righteousness, judgment. Amen. Let's remember this. Verse 12, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. What a beautiful statement for the word of God to tell the words of God. Because scripture says, the words of the Lord are like silver, must be purified, refined 7 times. If you say, Lord, I want more of your grace, the Lord says, calm down, my grace is sufficient for thee. If I reveal more than what you can bear, you will die. You will kill yourself in pride. You will kill yourself in self-righteousness. What happened to Lucifer? He was given so much. He blew it. The Lord says, my grace is sufficient to thee. My revelation, the Lord has planned first church age, second church age, third, fourth, five, six, seven. He had planned everything in his love. He exposed, he delivered, he revealed whatever is needed according to the time, the grace. Now, we are in the seventh church age. So the Lord says, be prepared. You are not like the last six churches. They only had to encompass the city once, but you are going to run 7 times. Make sure your calf muscles, your feet, your knee, everything is strong. Exercise your faith. Not once, 7 times. He will ask us to run around. We can't say, Lord, it's not fair. All those people, they only went for just one round. They had rest. And you're going to give them the token. But you're calling all of us to run 7 times. Oh yes, because we receive more. Much more. Along with all the 6 church ages of Revelation. The 7 spirits that we read in the book of Revelation. The Lord had revealed all to all. But what is pending, my brethren? The book of Romans says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Amen? Amen. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. What would happen when the Lord decides to reveal his wrath? Who has the authority to reveal the wrath of God? What does the rod represent when our Lord comes in the White House? When the Lord comes to the, for the great white throne judgment, what does it represent? the word of God is revealed to all of us by the Spirit of God. Amen? No one can reveal the word of God. Only the Spirit can reveal. Only the Spirit can bear witness. So now you see, the word of God is revealed to all of us from by the Spirit. And the wrath of God is also revealed from the heaven. But what is happening in this world? All those denominational churches who are driving people, multitudes of people, they never talk about the anger of God. The more they talk about wrath of God, their business model will be shaken. All those souls will just run away when they hear how righteous the Lord is. So what they do? The Lord is so merciful. Do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. Just say, Jesus, I love you. He will forgive all your sins. He will forgive. They want to prophesy for the entire future. He will forgive you. He has forgiven you, was a promise. He is forgiving you, is present. He will forgive you, is a prophecy. Who told you? The love of God is extremely polluted, twisted, misused in all the places where they mix poison, where they mix some sort of honey, not the sweet honey, and they are feeding to the children of God. And they are deceived, they are blinded, they are walking in the darkness. When the Lord comes and shows His wrath, we must be prepared. Amen? We have to be prepared for bringing all the souls into His marvelous light. We cannot be ignorant of who He is. If the Lord decides not to show any of this, now you ask. When Jesus said, when He is come to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, you can take away the word righteousness. How can you justify the righteousness of the Lord if the Lord does not hate the things of wickedness? If the Lord does not uproot the trees of evil? If the Lord does not destroy the towers of Babel? How do you see the righteousness of the God whom you serve? But what happened to the righteousness on Calvary? He was carrying every one of us and He covered Himself with shame, so that none of His creation would see Him, but rather they would see their filthiness in Him. And their wrath was even more increased. When Joseph shared his dream, his brother hated him even more. They got another reason to hate him. How come this situation where when he said, I am He, they went backward, fell to the ground, how this situation changed, they were able to go near Him, lay their hands upon Him, strike Him, smite Him, spit upon Him, strip Him naked, and beat Him throughout the Calvary, and torture Him, punish Him until He was killed for you and me. Wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That scripture must be fulfilled. It is fulfilled in front of our eyes. Now what we should do? What we should do? World of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. So where we are standing now? We are standing just before the judgment. Amen? We are standing in a time where we are going to stand in front of Him. Whom? The same who said, I am He. When He comes, He will say, I am He. When He say, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Whoever it is, whatever it is, when He reveals Himself, when He reveals His identity, when He reveals to all the breathers that I am the one who created you, everyone will be scared. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. But that confession would not be considered as a repentance, my brethren. Confession is different. Repentance is different. When there is a room for forgiveness from the Lord, you can repent. When the grace period is over, when you go and confess, it is nothing but a noise. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses, be healed together. Amen? But we never do that. We always pray for our physical illness. We never say, my brethren, I have short temper, please pray for me. We never say that. Because we want to keep our face clean, beautiful, strong. We never say, my brethren, I'm going through some mental depression, pray for me. We never say, my brethren, I think I'm struggling with pride, pray for me. We never say that. Why? It's all about our physical healing. If that woman could touch the tip of the garment of Jesus, the only healing she received was the physical healing. What's the point? What is the point of her life? She only received the physical healing of being the woman who touched the tip of his garment. But if she didn't live a life worthy of his calling, to be the daughter, to be the bride waiting for the groom, if she didn't die in faith, that healing, my brethren, is vanity. That healing is a sign for all the children of God. But the one who received the healing will be nothing but a vanity. Do you hear me? The Lord is always concerned about the healing as a whole. But as a whole, it is so beautiful, right? The Lord says, I created you as a whole. Body, soul, spirit. So you love me in your heart, in your mind, with all your might. Amen? Body, soul, spirit, your might, your heart, and your heart. Your heart and your might. Now in this, scripture says, fear not the man who can only destroy your body, but fear him who will destroy your soul and your body in hell. What happened to the spirit? God is spirit. He won't destroy spirit. There is no death for the spirit of God. Amen? He will reconcile back all to him. It is very deep. What we say, Lord, King Saul forsake you. He went against you. I'm sure he will be in hell. Are you sure? Who told you that? Who created the spirit of King Saul? You? Or the Lucifer? There is no other spirit. Amen? There is only one spirit. Every other unclean spirit, every other evil spirit is nothing but carnality. Vanity will be destroyed in the fire. Spirit, by definition, something that can never be destroyed. The true definition of spirit is God Himself. Everything else is like that beast that is roaming like a lion. That carnality, that flesh, that evil wickedness, that roaming like a spirit. It is not a lion of Judah. It is not a spirit. It is something to be destroyed. Anything that can be destroyed is not a spirit. Remember. Now what the Lord called all of us. I will give you my comforter. I will put my spirit in you. So that you would not be destroyed. Your soul, your body will be transformed for you to receive the glorious body. Because the Lord's spirit is in you. His spirit is the wall of fire that is protecting you right now. Amen? For there is no one who can say, Jesus is the Lord without the spirit. Amen? Not uttering by lips, my brethren, by uttering by your life. All right, it's easy, right? If you look at all those churches, they also say, I believe Jesus is the Lord. But it will be like a video without audio. Do you hear me? Thousands may scream, but it will be mute. No music, no nothing. Unless if the Spirit blesses to live the word, your life is a music instrument, does not generate any frequency. Your life is like those harps, an instrument that you read in Book of Psalms, but no sound produced. God cannot hear, because He hears like this, He sees. He hears by seeing. He sees by hearing. But when He speaks, He means business. Amen? He means business. And that is what He did just now. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He did not say, will be judged. Look at the word. He said, the prince of this world, all the principalities, all the wickedness, all the darkness, all the power and dominion of this earth is judged right now as we speak. Being judged from the day one. Because everything is judging. But the judgment comes when He comes as a judge. Amen? But what He did, He took the clothing of being the savior of the sacrificial lamb. And He came and died for us, and we call Him Savior. Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving my life. That's why I said, I was broken when I read that verse, when Jesus said, if you are looking for me, let my children go their way. Let my seed go their way. Let my people go their way. Let my friends go their way. Let my family go their way. Let my generation, my priests, my saints, my kings, my daughters, my sons go their way. Do you know what does it mean? When God said, let there be light, I ask you, is there anyone who can go and stop the word? No. I just heard you said, let there be light. I'm not letting this happen. Tell me, who can go and stand against the word of God saying, there is a word coming to me. Let there be light. No, I'm not going to let this happen. No, let there be no light. Who is there to challenge the word of God? No one. Zero. Amen? None. So when Jesus says, let my people go, he says, they will go. No one is stopping it. He says, I have made the way. I am the way. They will go in my way and no one can stop them. That is the meaning of what the Lord says, let. Whenever the Lord says, let, he is not begging, he is not requesting, he is not asking, he is speaking. The word of God never requests. Amen? Why you should request? Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death, watch and pray for me, he is not requesting. He is telling them, if you really want to preserve your soul, you have no other choice. Watch and pray. You have no other choice. Watch and pray. The word of God spoke to all of us, watch and pray. And that word is still speaking to our ears, watch and pray. So now, these three words. Of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. And we are just few moments away from what the Lord is going to fulfill when it comes to judgment. That moment can be months, can be years, but as the way we see it, the Lord is coming very soon. The Lord is coming very soon. Ever since the city of Jerusalem has become the central focus of the whole world, we know what's going to happen. So what we should do? Prepare ourselves for the groom who is coming. Amen? Prepare the inner chamber. Make sure that we stand blameless. We preserve our soul, our spirit and body blameless for his coming. Because he has called us to do that. Now what is stopping, my brethren? What is stopping? Why the Lord said, judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Who said this? The prince of life spoke the word concerning the prince of this world. Amen? The prince of life spoke. The prince of world is judged. Judgment is inevitable. So, from here, may the Lord bless us. That whatever we learned all these weeks from children of obedience, disobedience, those who are willing and obedient, they shall eat the good of the land. Those who refuse and rebel, they will be devoured by the sword. And we know what is the sword. Now from there, by God's grace, we studied what happened to all the disobedience in the scripture. Whatever that we can learn from. And how the Lord dealt disobedience and rebellion. And how the Lord dealt the profaning of his name when he had not spoken. The interpretation of his word in the way of men was not acceptable to the Lord. Because he always wants his house sanctified, consecrated, cleansed for him to continue to dwell. Amen? Now let's turn your Bible. And the Lord says, I have yet many things to say, but you can't bear, right? He said. But the Lord also tells us, don't worry, I will not send any trials or sufferings that you cannot bear. And the Lord says, you must embrace the fellowship of my sufferings. Amen? So what is there for you to bear? What is there for the Lord wants us to bear? Can we simply escape from bearing anything? If not, what does that mean, the meaning of the scripture? You must bear his reproach outside the camp. Amen? Endure the shame until he comes. Amen? So now, Brother Clement, please read this for us. Book of John, chapter 13, from verse 1 to 30. God bless you, brother. Chapter 13, from verse 1 to 30.
Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garment, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathing only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garment, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.
Amen.
I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he.
Amen.
Most assuredly I say to you, Amen. He who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judah had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night.
Amen. 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 Verse 27. And after the soap Satan entered into him, then said Jesus unto him, thou doest do quickly. Whatever you came to do, do quickly. He only spoke this after Satan entered him. Now, why the Lord said the word quickly? What is the last verse in the scripture? Book of Revelation, chapter 22. Chapter 22, Book of Revelation. Verse 20, verse 21. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now you understand why we must obtain His grace to serve Him. It is not what you desire. It is not what you plan. It is not what you want. If there is no grace, forget about it. Now let's go to Book of Genesis, the last verse. So you remember, the Book of Genesis ends with the death of Joseph. Amen? We know Joseph is the prefiguration of what the Lord did for all of us. And now, before Joseph died, he spoke this verse, verse 25. Chapter 50, verse 25. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and he shall carry up my bones from hence. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The last words of Joseph was, God will surely visit you. Because there is no one in your life can tell you, I will help you surely. The word sure is certainty. Only one who can say sure. the Lord himself. The foundation that is sure. All of us, we are nothing but uncertainty, vanity. But in him, we are perfect. In him, we are certain. In him, we are complete. Without him, we are done. Case closed. Now, let's remember what the Lord spoke here. Now, the disciple whom he called was the same who decided to betray him. Last week we studied, the denial of Peter was not simply portrayed on par with the betrayal of Judas. Was it partial? But if you look very carefully, Judas was not present in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus took Peter, John, James. Judas was not present when Jesus transfigured in front of Moses and Elijah. Judas was not present when God only allowed Peter, John and James to be inside when he revived the child to come back to life. It was Peter whom the Lord used to showcase his lack of faith. But yet Peter denied him. He wanted to save his life. The Lord taught him a lesson. He received contentment, humility, humbleness, and the Lord preferred him to serve as an apostle for the rest of his life. Amen? After that, if someone comes and tries to trigger him to be pride, to be angry, he cannot. The Lord silenced him. When Peter was rebuked by Apostle Paul, can Peter say, "Who are you to rebuke me? Do you know who I am?" Cannot say. If Peter thinks who I am, the Lord will tell me, "Come, I'll tell you who you are. You denied me 3 times. I took you to 3 important events. Still, you denied me 3 times. You are done." If Apostle Paul thinks, "You know how powerful I am. I am the apostle for Gentiles," the Lord will say, "Come, come, I'll remind you. You know my son Stephen, you were there when they were killing him in a tragic way, in such a violent way, and they cast their garment at your feet. You were there, standing like a tree of death." No flesh can boast glory. But the anointing of the Lord was upon their vessels, and we hold the reverence and honor to the servants of God. What? Because there is no other anointing other than the anointing of the Holy One. Amen? So what the Lord is doing in our lives? I always remember this. When the Lord allowed Moses to strike the rock twice, I always try to pray and ask the Lord to teach me. This situation could have been different. When God and Moses was alone, speaking face to face, God told something to Moses, Moses did something twice, and the Lord rebuked him. It could have been a personal one-to-one event between God and Moses alone. Case closed. But yet, the Lord allowed Moses to strike the rock twice in front of all. Can he say the Lord insulted his servant? Are you sure? Who was there on the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses. Who is going to come as the two witnesses? The spirit of Moses? No. The Lord would let his child to fall, and the child will rebound multiple. But during the fall, he would see who are his and who are not his. He would examine. Because the part of the word will react to the situation. The Lord will throw you in fire to see if you melt or you don't. The Lord will expose certain things of some man, some woman, some mighty servant of God to see how you react. The mighty king, David, his sin was uncovered. Everyone must have cursed him. I told you. The first son of Jesse should have been the king. Samuel made a mistake. He chose the last feeble one. Look at what happened to him. Oh, look at what happened to him. The great king of this earth, the man of wisdom, Solomon, was bring forth. The Lord bring forth Solomon from David. And not just that. Our Savior, our Master, he identified him one last time in the book of Revelation by saying, "I am the root and the offspring of David, son of Jesse." Amen? So what we see is what we not see. What the Spirit can make you to see is what the Lord wants you to see. So now, look at this. When Jesus said, "I am he," everything went backward and fell to the ground. Amen? But when he went to the Calvary, the scripture says, he knew no sin, but he was made to be sin. Something was made. He was made to be sin. He was clothing something that he is not. your sin, my sin, and there was a blindness, and in that blindness, when you are angry, you know the people say, when you are angry, you are blind, you are deaf, and you are mute. But the problem is, when we are angry, we will be blind. We will be deaf, but you won't be mute. We will be like a machine gun, you know, shooting all with our words, with our thoughts. It would have been wiser if we also can be mute. But the problem is, tongue, no man can tame. Until the heart is surrendered to the Creator, to the Master, you can never control your tongue. And this tongue is the sword of our time. Put thy sword into his sheath. You are only called to put his sword, this word. For your feet shall shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. The same people who are using the word of the Lord to twist and fight one another, they are building the sword in the word, fighting with one another. This is wrong, this is right, this is wrong, this is right. But what the apostles do, they speak the truth, and the truth goes and destroys all. Vain babblings are nothing but the same word Peter spoke in his own confidence. The same sword Peter wielded to cut off the ear of one of the band of men who came to arrest Jesus Christ. But what the Lord said, he healed him. And the scripture says, my sheep hear my voice, no one can make you deaf. When the Creator speaks, you will hear him. You cannot say, Lord, I was very strong. No, Brother Clement came and insulted me. I lost my right ear. I can't hear you. You know, if I can't hear you, don't blame me, okay? Because this Peter, he cut my ear off. And the Lord would say, my sword is more powerful than his sword. What are you talking about? My healing is more powerful than any healing. What are you talking about? No flesh can complain. He would never give any room for anyone to complain. But that word, put thy sword into its sheath, is so, so deep. It goes to the book of Ezekiel, book of Isaiah, even in book of Genesis. Same verse. Because the Lord also will wield his sword in his word. When you speak, then we know, yes, the end has come. When the gospel is preached to the ends of the earth, when all the souls are redeemed, and then the end shall come, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, he will come. Until then, what he says, I sent you my comforter, hold on to my spirit, I am he. He revealed himself to us in his spirit. Now, John chapter 13 uncovered the nakedness of a disciple who can betray his Savior, amen? And not just that, there is a sequence. He did something as the Lord spoke. Satan entered when there was an unclean bread. Remember? Verse 26. Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a soap when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the soap, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Why suddenly the father of Judas was mentioned? Why suddenly the name of Judas is linked to the father's name? You could see this pattern in scripture from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And the Lord says, I will inquire the iniquities of your fathers unto second and third generation. Remember, when Shemaiah went against the Lord by trying to deceive Nehemiah, the scripture identified Shemaiah from his great-grandfather, father, and the name of Shemaiah was addressed. Why? Come on. Why the Lord wants his three generations to be remembered? Because he mentioned, I will remember three generations. You could pass down all your evil attributes to your children if the Lord is not able to circumcise us in our heart. You would pass down all your evil attributes to your children. And the children to their children. And this wickedness will continue if the sword is not cutting us from to death to life. Amen? Now in this chapter, we just listen to the words of betrayal. Now I want all of us to go to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 55, verse 12. I will read this. Chapter 55, verse 12. Psalm chapter 55, verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, my brethren. This verse should always be etched in our heart. The Lord says, it was not an enemy that reproached me. The way the Lord blessed His servant David to write this book of Psalms, it's so beautiful. It speaks beyond generations. It speaks of His greatness. It speaks of His mercy. It speaks of His wrath. It's a book of praise and worship. Yet, it is prophetical. It makes people to repent. It makes all of us to see our nakedness. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. If my enemy betrayed me, I could have accepted it. It is fine, he hates me. If David was betrayed by Goliath, if David was betrayed by Jonathan, tell me, which one will break the heart of David? It was the betrayal of Jonathan. Because David said, I love my friend more than the love of woman. What a statement for a man to make who was a king. Yet he failed when he saw Bathsheba. Because Goliath cannot betray David. Because Goliath do not know David. You can only betray someone when you know him. In love. In trust. When the person put his trust in you. When the Lord gave His name to you, don't you see He trusts you? When the Lord put His Spirit in you, don't you see He trusts you? When the Lord called you by His name, don't you see He trusts you? Don't you always take the role of an audience? As if the Lord is running a show. You just sit and watch what the Lord is doing. The Lord wants you to be His builder. The Lord wants you to be His husbandry. To work with Him. That is our calling. To do His commandments. Automatically work with Him. Look at the deep pain and hurt in this verse. When the Lord said, I could have borne it. Neither was it He that He hated me that did magnify Himself against me. Not even the one who hated me, who magnified Himself against me. Not even that one. Not my enemy, not the one who hated me. But at least I would have hid myself from him. True. If you know your enemy, you know what to do. You know he will come straight into your face. He will stab you in your chest. You know how to protect. But you will be thinking, I have my friends. And among all the friends, few of them dip their knife, dip their sword, dip their word, twisting in their mind, in poison, and stab you in the back. It's called betrayal. That's why I've been telling you for the past few months, never, ever use the word of God to justify your actions. Let the word of God justify Himself in you. Because He is the one who called it, He is the one who justified it. Now, look at this verse, verse 13. But it was thou, a man mine equal. The Lord says, I am the Lord, I will not yield my glory to anyone. If at all He gives His glory to you, His revelation, He shows His love to you, think from the King of Kings perspective. Forget about David for a while. Forget about David, forget about all his enemies. Because Moses, we know what he represents to Aaron. Abraham, the father of all in the earthly generations, we know what he represents in spiritual prefiguration. And what David represents as a king. Because all the attributes of servants of God in the Old Testament represents of Him who is coming. The king, the prophet, the apostle, the prince of peace, the advocate, the chief cornerstone, the high priest, the root and the branch, the tree of life. Everything. The foundation and the wall and the roof. You can't even be the window in His house. You can only be the brick of the lively stone in His house. Now, look at this verse. I was not betrayed by my enemy because my enemy can only attack me. Sennacherib can never betray Hezekiah. Sanballat can never betray Nehemiah. All of these guys who ever attacked the Israel, you can trust them. You know, I give my respect for them. Because why? They told them, I'm coming. You can see me from the wall. But what if there is a betrayer inside the wall? The Lord will see. The Lord will see. Our love will blind them, but the Lord will see. But when the Lord sees, what He will do? Uproot. The scripture says, when the Lord sees His garden, He will uproot the plant that was not planted by Him. Then who can plant? He is the gardener. Then who can plant? All those false doctrines are good example of the plants planted by men. Correct? It looks like it's going to give you life, but it is nothing but death. Look at what all the false doctrines. Jesus was God in baby. There are Trinity. And you can make idols of Jesus. Okay. Because Moses himself made a brazen serpent so we can worship idols. People say this and this and that. But this darkness can never be destroyed by you. It can only be destroyed by you when the voice, when the word of God speaks through you as a vessel, when the word is being launched as a word of life. But now, remember this. A man who is like equal to mine, my guide and mine acquaintance, we took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Wow. And we walked together into the house of God in company. Remember Eliashib. Remember Shemaiah. The pain those people would have gone through. Verse 15. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. Do not misunderstand this word for flesh and blood. It is all about wickedness. The Lord would never destroy the spirit. He is the spirit. But the wickedness, no. He won't spare his eyes. He won't spare his eyes. Now the word quickly is shown here. In the book of Revelation, we say, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, quickly. We did not say. He told us to say. Those words were spoken by the Lord himself. He shall say, come, Lord, quickly. Not rushing. Quickly means quickly, according to your will and pleasure appointed to your time. But Lord, help us not to delay in fulfilling your commandments so that your perfect will be as it is, as you are waiting for your gracious and merciful. Amen? And now the Lord told the same thing to Judas. Whatever it is, just do it quickly. Last Sunday, we studied book of Ezekiel chapter 9 and 11 before. Remember those six men who came? The Lord sent them to destroy all. Those who have his mark escaped. Those who do not have his mark but filled with abomination, they could not escape because they were ruthless. They were also carrying some weapon. So now think. Judas standing with band of men, mighty strong men, good. Jesus standing with faithful men. Men, those six men, those 12 men, those 24 elders, all those apostles, 72 elders, all the seven messengers, whatever the message God used, they are also the armed men who went before the ark of God when Joshua was marching around the city of Jericho, right? What these armed men will do? Launching, throwing stones at you? No. They will speak. They will speak the truth. Apostle Peter was also carrying some weapons. He released the weapons, speaking the truth. When the truth was released, it went and destroyed all the flesh. All those 3,000 flesh were killed. The spirit man stood firm. They were all baptized, born again. Then Peter tried again. It yielded more fruit. 5,000 darkness were killed and 5,000 people were born. Then Peter tried again. But this time, Ananias was killed. His wife also killed. This time they died for real. Watchman was defending all. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 11. He was told by the Lord, Son of man, prophesy. And Ezekiel said, Lord, I'm sure you won't destroy all for one sake. The Lord said, okay, fine. You go and prophesy to son of Penaniel, Talatia. He prophesied. He died. Was it death of flesh and blood that we should be scared? Or the way the Lord destroying everything that are not in his plan? The scripture says, God will uproot the plan that was not planted by him. He will only water the plan that he planted. Only the true doctrines of God, the apostolic doctrines built upon the foundation of God, will yield, reap all the souls for him. Every other doctrines, my brethren, will be broken into pieces, burned into ashes, and those who deliver those doctrines will be forced to drink the powder, the same way what Moses did in the wilderness. Now, this is what our Lord talks about betrayal. Now, why Jesus had to speak the word, let these go their way. Amen? I want all of us to remember, whenever the word of God speaks, it works both ways. Because he don't speak the same twice. You see, when the Lord says, if you seek me, let these go their way. Amen? If the audience, or those whom he is speaking, if those are people filled with wrath, filled with wickedness, came to arrest him, betray him, insult him, profane him, then what does that word mean? If you seek me, I'm here. Let my children go their way. They are in the wilderness, pillar of cloud, pillar of fire will lead them unto the promised land, and they will reach the promised land, and no one is stopping it. Throughout the seven church ages, I will send my spirit, my angels, my messengers to guide them, and they will receive the revelation, and they will reach the place. No one is stopping it. Because He is the way. Amen? I am the way. There are so many ways, I told you. I am He. I go my way. Are you with me or not? That's what He's asking. The river is flowing. Are you in or not? It won't stop for anyone. God said, do it quickly. I can't waste a single second of my righteous children to suffer. He would never let them to suffer more than what He wanted them to suffer. I want to use the word wanted. Because the Lord says, embrace the fellowship of my suffering. Amen. The word embrace means willingness. Not accepting in compulsion, but receiving it in willingness. So the Lord says, I will never let you suffer, not even 1 second more than you are called to suffer. That is why I told you, never say Lord is not fair. Because He is fair, beautiful. But the word we say is not fair. It's actually ugly. It is fair. It is well with our soul. We are weak, but in our weakness, His strength will be glorified. Never think you are strong. The scripture says, we are all weak. Thou art strong. When you say, Lord, I am strong, it means the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Israel, God of Jacob, who is in me, He is strong. His name is a strong tower. And I am under the tower. I am weak. I am the lame. But because I am under the tower, I am strong. No one is weak. The Lord would surprise us. Prophet Eli thought Samuel was weak. But a few years later, things changed upside down. You could not see him and his two sons. The scripture reminds all of us, the Lord is all in all. Would you listen to the same sermon if Adam comes and preached the same words? You know what you think? Small boy, we will just listen to his testimony. But the Lord would not see that way. He wants all of us to listen the word and to receive it. He is not in the tone. He is not in the raising the voice or lowering the voice. He is not in the shouting. He is not in the storm. He is not in the earthquake. He is in the word. He is in your discernment. He is in the way you receive it with honor and reverence. I love the way the verse was posted in the chat group. Those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be full. Amen? How can I hunger for this righteousness? Was it the bread of life? Or was it drink of my new covenant? What is righteousness? What we lost and what we need to go back to Him is the battle of righteousness. He is fighting every day for you. Even now, we don't know how many angels are fighting for us for this gathering to take place. This building can collapse. Current can supply. The shopping mall management can kick us out. Anything can happen. Internet can collapse. I can collapse. Whatever can happen. The Lord who is mighty in battle is fighting for you. That's why He said, your feet shall shod with the preparation of gospel. I leave it to me. I am your peace. But what He does to bring peace, He fights. Destroy. He is a destroyer of confusion. That is why we call Him, Lord, you are beautiful. Creator of life. Because He destroyed death. He swallowed up death. Wrath of God is the complete divine representation of how He is protecting His children. You can love your children no matter what. But what if there is a beast coming to devour your child? What will you say? I love my child. Beast, I beg you, don't scratch my child's skin. Don't bite him. Please, I beg you. Because no. A father will become like a lion of Judah. A mother also will become a lion of... They will go and devour the beast. But for our life, in the present establishment, what is the enemy? What is the challenge for you? Your flesh. Your mind. Your thoughts. The Lord wants all of us to be very careful to escape from yourself. No one can carry the cross of someone, and no one can bring down the cross of someone. Why? We go. Book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verse 1 to 10. Brother Clement, please read this for us. Chapter 35, verse 1 to 10. Remember the word unclean from John chapter 13. Amen? Please read, my brother. Chapter 35, from verse 1 to 10.
The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice.
Amen.
And blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice.
Yes.
Even with joy and singing, the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The excellence of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
The excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, Be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. That the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the eyes of the and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, or though a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. With everlasting joy on their heads, they shall obtain joy and gladness.
Amen.
And sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Amen. Amen. I am going to read again the last few verses of chapter 35. Because the last few verses of chapter 35, it teaches the way the Lord has been referring to all our lives. The way. Read this, verse 30. Chapter 35, verse, I will read from verse 8. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Amen? The way of holiness, because there is only one way. He is the way. The unclean shall not pass over it. I repeat. The unclean shall not pass over it. Spoken by God Himself. Amen? When the Lord says the unclean shall not pass over it, you have no complaint to tell the Lord, the familiar spirit troubled me. The flesh took me away from the way of holiness. The beast came and hurt me. I'm wounded. The scripture says no one can enter the way of holiness. Then which way we were walking on? Continue to read this. But it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. Because nothing can separate you from the love of God. When the Lord draws you closer, nothing can stand between, only you. It's between you and your flesh. That's why the Lord says, deny yourself, then you can follow me. Because no one is going to stop you from following me. And he says, it shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. The way of holiness is reserved, sealed, preserved, shielded, surrounded by the mighty hand of God that only the redeemed can walk. So the question is, are we flowing in the river or are we standing at the shore just witnessing and the beast keep on scratching you in the back? Possible. If you are not flowing in the river, it is true. The ravenous beast, the lion, all the weariness, confusion, hurt, pride, ego, self-righteous, own thought, everything will come and devour you if we are not flowing in the river. The grace of God does not stop for anyone. He waits but does not stop. He waits but does not delay. Now, The way of holiness. And the Lord says, I go my way. There is none stopping me. Whoever is following me, there is none stopping them. So what the Lord says, don't turn to your right. Don't turn to your left. Now you read the last verse. And a ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy. Now you remember why the Lord said, I shall identify those who are my children by the way they endure my chastening, because they can never endure without my joy. The everlasting joy. The joy that was set before him on the cross. Upon their heads, how can I have joy upon my head? We always think about joy in our heart. Amen? When the apostles seated, rested on the house, when the mighty rushing wind filled the house, the Spirit rested upon their heads. Amen? All the servants of God, when they were speaking for God, as the voice of God, the mouth of God, the Spirit of God rested upon them. Amen? Then what is your joy? Can you have joy without the Spirit of God? Joy is also spelled as the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? But now, he says, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Our Savior just spoke in the book of John, because I told all of this, sorrow filled your heart. It's fine. Cast your burdens at Calvary. I am going to die for you. I must go away for you, but I'll go back to my Father. That is where righteousness comes in, my brethren. He says, he will come to reprove the world of sin because they believe not in him. Of righteousness, because they go to my Father without the power of resurrection, without the ascension, there is no righteousness for you and me. We are done. The power of resurrection, the blood of Jesus Christ that washed all of us to receive his righteousness, the revelation of his truth, holding on to his Spirit. Now, sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So there is one more way. There is one more way. Now I want you all to think this verse from another perspective. If Jesus says to all of us, now we are not Judas and the band of friends. Amen? Unless you want to become. We can betray. I can betray him tomorrow. You can betray him tomorrow. If not for his grace and mercy, we are all betrayers, remember. Now, if the Lord speaks to Judas and that man, if you seek me, let my seed, my friends, my family, my children, my bread go their way. And what is their way? The way of holiness. No beast is there. Nothing is there. There is nothing can shall separate them from my love. But the scripture says, you shall can separate yourself by your iniquities. Amen? Now let's stop there. Now let's go to the other side of the double-edged sword. If the Lord tells you and me, if you seek me, if you love me, if you believe me, if you want to follow me, let these go their way. What are those? People? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen? For the Lord also hates things. Amen? Things. All those wickedness, all those things the Lord hates. Let these things go their way of wickedness. Because these things will also will go in the way. A way of destruction, path of destruction. And the Lord will destroy, burn them all in his wrath. So what the Lord says, on one side, to his children, my children, if you seek me, let these go their way. Let all your flesh, all your ego, pride, carnality, whatever that is not acceptable in my altar, let it be burned, go their way into the ashes, the same way as Jericho, Sodom and Gomorrah. Because everything will be destroyed with soul and body in the hellfire. So let these things go their way. That is why God said, I will turn the reproach back to their own way. I will recompense their way back to their own head. Amen? But for he said, ransom, you will have a joy upon their head. So what's happening here? On one side, joy that is resting on all your head. On another side, judgment resting on all your head. Which one you want? Now you understand? Believeth not him, wrath of God abideth on me, if I don't believe him. It doesn't mean I don't believe in Jesus. If I do not keep his commandments, if I do not live his word, if I do not live a life worthy of his calling, then I don't believe him. Because sin means, believe him not. Then you would ask, Eve, what she did? What she did to say that she didn't believe him? Think, when the serpent told Eve, eat this, you know it's very nice, it's very good. You will have knowledge of good and evil, like God. He was not lying. My brother and serpent would never lie. He would tell the truth with poison. He would tell the truth with lust. He would speak the truth with harlotry. He would speak the truth with the intent to kill you. The intention make the word, whether it is word of life or word of death. I can use the same scripture to accuse and hurt a brother. Correct? Then I'm an accuser. I'm a vessel of adversity. So, serpent was speaking about the truth of tree of knowledge and evil, good and evil. But what happened? The moment Eve believed the serpent word, she believed not the one who created her. Understand? Everything that leads us to hell, you can simply bundle all into one single word. Believeth not him. Those who do not believe him. So the word believing has two components. Obedience in willingness. Willingness is impossible if you don't love him. Love is impossible if he don't reveal himself to you. So it is all interconnected. Children of disobedience, those who don't do his commandments, those who don't believe him. So now we are here. The Lord says, I go to my Father, I send the Comforter. All of us are carrying the arks of the covenant. Amen? The spirit that the Lord has put in you is because of the covenant that he gave to Abraham. Never forget. And the Lord says, before Abraham was high, under the terebinth trees, when the Lord met Abraham with two witnesses, he gave a promise. And the two angels went to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the scripture says, Abraham stood before the Lord. Amen? So the same cherubim trees was represented in scripture for so many things. Jacob buried things. People of Israel, they buried all their idols under the tree. The tree was represented because it's a great oak tree that represents strength and longevity. That can long lasting. The tree that can live longer. Now, when Adam and Eve, they come to the scene, they were also trying to run and go hide behind the tree, assuming that they would escape from the highest eyes of the Lord. They also put some clothes on them with some leaves. But the Lord had to kill another animal and he clothed them with the skins of the goat. Amen? So now, what is the skin that you and me are clothing now? When our Savior was stripped in Calvary, when he gave us the garment of salvation by letting him be that sacrificial lamb, upon which all the anger, all the punishment, all the judgment, all the wrath of men were placed, instead of you and me. So where is the wrath of God? Disappeared or turned away? Have you seen this pendulum? You rotate, it goes back and comes again, right? It's like unfolding a rope with a metal ball, a sphere. If I swing this, it goes. You may think you escape, it comes back and hits you. Correct? Let's say I swing this 7 times. 1, 2, 3. Every time the Lord sends some wrath, Moses, Lord, no. Your children, come on, remember the covenant. Then the Lord, the wrath turned away. And every time all the servants of God stand in the gap, Abraham, all the servants of God. But on Calvary, our Savior did something that man, woman, flesh cannot understand. Because of his love, he absorbed all our sin that is worthy of death forever, and he turned the wrath of God away, and we receive his grace and mercy to see him in his own time throughout the 7 church ages. But it will come. He will come. The cup that he drank for you and me, he will come with the cup. He will come with the winepress. Those 7 angels were filled with wrath. They will come and pour out everything that was reserved, not disappeared, reserved, because he is righteous. He won't take anything away. As the scripture says, oh unto him who add unto something, who remove something from scripture, right? The Lord would be so specific about what he said. So may the Lord bless us. I want to read a few more verses as the Lord reads. Let's go to John 8:21. We are focusing on the way, my brethren. Because Jesus said, the wrath of God is sealing, protecting, making signs to make sure the ransomed, the redeemed, you stay focused on the way of holiness. And there is no ravenous beast, there is no flesh, there is nothing comes in between. He is protecting us. Amen? Now, please read John 8:21.
Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come.
Amen. Please read 15, 18 to 25, brother. Chapter 15, 18 to 25.
If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world will love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you.
Yes.
If they kept my word, they will keep yours also.
Yes.
But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened, that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Now, in these 7 verses, there is a statement of truth the Lord uttered. No excuse for sin. Amen? Because before judgment comes, the Lord will remove all the excuses that you can say to commit a sin. Correct? No excuse for sin. Now, remember this and let's read the first verse of chapter 18 before the Lord said, I am He. Let's remember from where He came. When Jesus had spoken these words, chapter 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, He went for His disciples over Brook Kedron. In New King James you will see Kedron. In King James you will see Brook Cedron. There was a garden into which He entered and the disciples. So we know what happened in the garden. But remember the place, Brook Kedron. I will just use the word Kedron for us to remember a lot of events concerning the place, Brook Kedron. This place was compared to like a dark valley that separated the Mount Temple and Mount Olive, and it ends at Dead Sea, right? I will write this so that you remember. Mount Olive and ends at Dead Sea. That was the position of the Brook Kidron Valley. It's a valley, it's a brook. Now, Jesus and the disciples, they crossed over this valley and He entered the garden and He prayed, and what happened, rest we follow. Now let's turn our Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 15. He is our King of Kings. Amen. Now let's learn from the King whom He said the root and offspring of David. Chapter 15. I'm going to read few verses for today. We'll read again next week. And I will read from verse 23. Now this is where David and his household fled from whom? From Absalom. Okay? I will just go through a simple background so that we can read the verse. Chapter 15 begins with verse 1. If you read verse 1, it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Very similar to Judas and the band of men, right? He's preparing some men, like Pharaoh, who was preparing all the chariots to go behind people of Israel to destroy them. But the Lord has prepared a valley by splitting the Red Sea into two. There was also a dry land for them to cross over. Amen? So Red Sea became a valley for the children of Israel to cross over. And Pharaoh and the army, they were destroyed. But here you see Absalom, who was preparing his chariots, sending 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that any man that had controversy came to the king for judgment. Remember the word judgment. any controversy, he came for judgment. And then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. This is what Absalom said. After that, we will read the verse next week, but remember this. David and his household, they fled from Absalom, okay? And now, verse 23, read this. And all the country, verse 23, all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of wilderness. Amen? Let's stop here. So now, let me write. Brook Kidron separates Temple of Mount, Mount Olives, and also there is the Dead Sea, which is the end of the valley. Now, the Lord says, if you follow me, if you follow my way, and his way is called holiness, way of holiness, which is written in the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, the last three was 8, 9, 10. And here, the king himself crossed over with his people. Amen? Our Lord, our Savior, the King of Kings, he himself did everything, washed your feet, bear the reproach and shame and sin of you and me, went to the Calvary, and he himself crossed, went over Brook Kidron with his disciples. Amen? The king, David, himself, with his people, passed over the Brook Kidron, and all the people passed over. So, this place was passed over. And this holiness, the Lord also, he compared this toward, amen, toward. Because once you pass over, what you see is nothing but toward wilderness. Now you recall what happened to people of Israel. After they crossed the Red Sea, they entered into wilderness, amen. Joshua carried the Ark of the Covenant, they crossed the River of Jordan, they entered the Promised Land. King David and all the people who are with him, the king himself, the word is very important. King himself, the Savior whom you believe, whom you love, he himself died for your sins. Crossed over. We will cross over Jordan. We will cross over Brook Kidron. We will cross over death. For the life itself crossed over death. For the life itself went through all that you are going to go through. Now, this place, I want us to remember, as I would like to close today's sermon with two more verses, so that we will continue next week. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 and 13. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 and 13. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 and 13. I will read this. Chapter 6, verse 7 to 13. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two. Amen? Two is better than one. Always two. You can also remember all those numbers too, in the Old Testament and in the book of Revelation. And he did not simply send them to be killed, as to be slaughtered. Scripture says he gave them power. Amen? He gave them power over unclean spirits. What? Over unclean spirits. Then the unclean bread, what we read in John 13, when Judas, what he did, Satan entered him. Then the Lord told him, do whatever you have to do quickly. Then after that he went and betrayed, we know what happened. The Lord gave the power to overcome the unclean spirits, whatever the wickedness that may stand against them, and commanded them that they should take nothing for the journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place whatsoever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. Now you understand what happened to Abraham when the two angels met him. What happened to Lot when two angels told him, no. I came to abide in the street, not in the house. Correct? Now you read. And whatsoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when ye depart hence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for the city. We just finished receiving lesson from Sodom and Gomorrah. And the word of God himself speaks of Sodom and Gomorrah. It will be even worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Even worse, what's going to happen? Now, Revelation chapter 11, as we close. Chapter 11. I will read from verse 1. Remember what the Lord spoke to those disciples. Remember, he also sent the 72. And they were so happy that demons are running away from them. They are able to perform miracles. The Lord said, yes, yes, I gave you the power to tread over serpents, but don't rejoice for this. Rejoice, for your names are written in the book of life. Jesus said that. Amen? He said something similar to those 12 when he sent them. But now you read these two witnesses who will come in our time in chapter 11. And now you bring back everything that we learned so far concerning 2. Read verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. Every time you see the word rod, you should remember the rod of Aaron. Amen? And the angel stood, saying, arise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. What? What? Measure with a rod? Are we measuring one another with our thoughts? The Lord says, I am coming to measure with a rod. How you measure? He measure the temple of God, not just that, and the altar, and all that worship him. Now you remember why Nehemiah, Hezekiah was running here and there to do the cleansing, to carry forth the filthiness out of the place. Because the Lord said, I will visit the entire congregation if you don't do, keep my commandments. Now you read verse 2. What's going to happen? But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under the foot 42 months. The Lord said, I gave you the power to tread over serpent. Don't stop it there. Rejoice, for the names are written in the book of life. Because there is one more power he is going to give to his two witnesses to show grace and mercy. Is it? Verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These many days, none touching them. Hezekiah rent his clothes of king clothes and he put on the clothes of sackcloth in prayer to speak the word of the Lord with the prophet. Amen? Now, these two witnesses will be in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of earth. When John the Baptist told all the Pharisees, this is generation of vipers. Who told you, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, to stand before the Son of Man? Amen? Now you read. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of earth. If any man will hurt them, don't you dare to touch mine anointed. Whatever God spoke, wherever he spoke, whichever time, save. If those two angels were hurt by Sodom and Gomorrah, if those two spies were hurt by city of Jericho, you would be reading scripture in a different way. But they were unharmed. But now you read. And if they do, these two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth. So from where the fire is coming, my brethren? If Book of Romans says, the wrath of God revealed from heaven, the God of heaven, who is in the witnesses, the vessels, when they speak, their mouth proceed forth, bring forth the fire from the heaven, for God of heaven is in them. They stood in front of God. And now you say, God of earth. And now we read, and devoureth their enemies. They are not coming to make peace. Devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Remember what happened to the two sons of Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and Hophni, and Phinehas. Remember whatever happened to them. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of the prophecy, and have power over waters, to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plague, as often as they will come on. What is this? As often as they will, because they are under the perfect will of God. As often what God wills. Two will plague the entire earth. Two. May the Lord bless us. They will be killed. Then they will be resurrected. But the Lord would allow them to be overcome by the enemy. When that happens, we know what happens. The Lord wants us to be prepared. I pray as I close. He is coming. Amen. I pray nobody disagree with that. He is coming quickly. No time. We repent, and we ask the Lord to revive us, renew us, rebuild us, restore us, to be prepared to continue to serve Him when He comes and sees us. Amen? He is going to reprove. He will convict the world of sin. Those who believe not. But this end will only come. He will only come when the gospel is preached unto the end. We should start evangelizing. Start witnessing. But not before we consecrate ourselves. Not before we sanctify ourselves. Not before the Lord purify ourselves. We must be prepared. Amen? Of righteousness, He must go to Father. Comforter is coming to all of us. Of judgment, He will come and judge. Because the prince of this world must be judged. The Lord wants all of us not to join His hand. Do not come in harlotry with Babylon. He is the prince over there. Here, when the Lord says, I am He, when He reveals Himself, everything will go backward, will fall downward. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. When He says, I go my way, He wants all of us to follow His way. When He tells the enemy, let my children go their way, He is telling them, don't you dare. Imagine, disturb my children. No one can be, is allowed in the way of holiness. The way of holiness is reserved for ransom. Amen? But the Lord also tells us, if you believe me, if you follow me, let everything, your flesh, your poisonous memories, your hurt, your wounds, whatever that takes you away from my fellowship, let it go. I pray and I ask, let it go. Burn it with your praise and worship. Once it is gone, you are redeemed, you are delivered. You will be close to the Lord. So only then we will be able to pass over the brook of Kidron, the dark valley, which is separating the Mount Temple and Mount Olive, and enter the Dead Sea. You can go to the Dead Sea, you can go to the Temple Mount, or you can go to the Mount Olive, whichever way you want to climb up. Now, this brook Kidron is the same valley David, king, with his people, they crossed over when Absalom was chasing them to kill. They fled, they were scared. They crossed over with the Ark of the Covenant. Amen? That is the most important thing. Now, when the Lord called all of us, if you seek me, die in sin. If we don't, what will happen? We will reach the stage, believeth not unto Him. Then the wrath of God abideth unto all of us. Now, why we are learning all of this before as I close? Why? If our learnings, our blessings, our lessons, our spiritual growth does not benefit a soul in your life, your loved one, your colleagues, your friends, people whom you meet, people whom you pray for, if it doesn't benefit them, then we are the mikar who are barren. Although the husbandman is singing, dancing, revealing so many things to us, we simply despise by remaining as the betrayer. May the Lord bless us not to stand with a band of men, but to stand with the faithful men, the 6 men, the 12 men, the 24 elders, the faithful servants of God, the apostolic faith, the 5-fold ministry. Let's stand with them. Let's serve the Lord. Because He's going to destroy all that are not His. Amen. May the Lord guide us. Let's stand and close the sermon. Our Lord, our God, our Savior, as we sing the Lord's song, pass me not, O Lord. May You bless all of us to pass through this life, the madness of this filthiness of the world of flesh and wickedness, darkness and evil. But Lord, we are rejoicing, for God of Jacob is our help. Lord, may You bless us to be washed, because You washed all our feet to walk in this way of holiness. And the King David had commanded all the people to walk in barefoot when they crossed the valley of Kidron, Lord. So Lord, I pray, may You bless us to remain as a yielding vessel, for your divine purpose in our life. Lord, bless us, Lord. We are not here to be scared of the wrath of the punishment. But Lord, we are here because of the wrath of men that was fell upon you on Calvary, which worketh not the righteous of God. Lord, forgive us, Lord. We repent for all our shortcomings. May you bless us to be revived, to be renewed, to be restored, to continue to serve you with your grace, and to be a blessing to all the souls wandering in darkness. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we surrender our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all, brothers.